Thursday, September 11th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today, we're going to be doing our third installment of this three-part crazy series on getting back to school with your selling skills. Now, today's episode is brought to you by our new online program, How to Hunt More Effectively. So, if you don't mind, let's pay the bills. Let's go ahead and check that out right now. Hey everyone, it's Paul Castain, and I'd like you to mark your calendars for September 17th, because that's when we're going to be kicking off our new online program, How to Hunt More Effectively. Now, this program is going to be focused 100% on helping you to hunt for business in a way where you stand out. I mean, that's really important. You guys have to know that it's really noisy out there, probably noisier than it's ever been. Now, here's a little observation that I've made, and it's not going to shock you, because I've talked about this before. When it comes to hunting for new business, you guys are pretty good at working the phone, working emails, working them kind of together. But when I ask the question beyond the phone call, beyond the emails, what else do you have? That's when people get pretty uncomfortable, because basically that's about all you have. You really don't know what to do beyond that. And that is not a good position for you to be in, even though you are probably bringing in business that way. Let me tell you why. Because first of all, you need to know that as good as that's working for you right now, you're missing opportunities, because not everybody is having the phone. Not everybody is having emails. So if they have another venue where they prefer to be contacted on, and you're clinging to the phone and you're clinging to emails, you're going to leave those opportunities with a whole lot of nothing. That's the first thing. The other thing, it's just extremely noisy on those channels. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying, hey, the heck with the call or the heck with the emails. I'm simply saying that I really believe that your phone calls are lonely. They need some companionship, not only from those emails. Bravo, Gold Star, for doing that right now, but there's a whole other world in addition to. So let me just take you through what the game plan's going to be. I've designed a course that's going to help you mix it up between the phone calls, the emails. How about some creativity, like creative door openers, snail mail, traditional networking? I mean, when it comes to traditional networking, a lot of people are uncomfortable with it because they really don't know how to get the conversation going. What do you say? What do you do? How about a few strategies to help you do that more effectively? Got you covered. Social networking. Referrals. Such a huge opportunity for us. You want to talk about low-hanging fruit. Well, a lot of people don't know the timing of when to do it, how to do it, so on and so forth. We're going to do that, but I'm also going to show you how to create a communication plan that's going to make you less predictable, more memorable, and help you open more doors in the process. If you'd like to learn more about this, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. Okay. So as I mentioned, this is part three of our three-part series on getting back to school with your selling skills. Now, by way of a really quick review, in part one, we discussed the importance of mindset. I mean, and we've heard that one a million times. You have to have the right attitude, and attitude is so important, and it's the foundation of everything else, but could we be any more general than that? So what I try to point out to you is that the right mindset is important. One where we have that can-do attitude, that will-do attitude and mindset, that the urgency to kind of say that we must do it, and we must do it today, not just, yes, someday, and all that kind of stuff. But we also talked about the importance of having an attitude, of being willing to make yourself vulnerable, to ask others how to do things. And that's very hard for us sales folk. We talked about the ego and how that gets in the way of things sometimes. Now, one of the things I mentioned to you is how it's really important for us as sales professionals to kind of think about, well, what are the skills that I really need to have? Almost like you're going to work and you're looking at your toolbox. What tools do I really have to have in this toolbox in order to be successful? But one of the things I mentioned in an exercise that's very hard for people to do, but it's real easy for that top 1%, you know, those real sales rock stars to do. And this is one of the things I've seen in them that they do better than just so many other people, is the ability to not only know what you need to do, but to look in the mirror and say, well, how do I do in those areas? So in other words, if you kind of look in the mirror and you say that, you know what, I really, with the kind of deals that I'm in front of, I really have to be good at negotiation. Well, on a scale from 1 to 10, right now I kind of put myself at like a 4 with negotiation, man. I got to get better at that. And maybe, you know, one of the other things you look at is you say, well, I have to be really good at time management. Well, right now I put myself at about an 8, but how do I get to a 10? Because an 8 isn't going to cut it with what I have on my plate right now. So one of the offers that I made to you, which was absolutely free, still is, by the way, I said, if you email me at paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, I have a free checklist, like a worksheet for you, where we've listed 75 qualities of sales rock stars. And I would invite you to take that sheet, that worksheet, and kind of look in the mirror. And kind of on the right-hand side, I have little boxes where you can rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. And this way, what you can do is you can kind of flag the areas where you really need a lot of improvement. But I mentioned in that very first part of this series that is also a very big mistake a lot of people make. We were taught from the beginning of time that we focus on our weaknesses. Hey, yeah, of course, put some focus on your weaknesses. But don't you dare ever forget about strengthening the strengths. Because otherwise, you're just going to remain good and you're not going to get great. Otherwise, you're going to remain great and you're not going to get awesome. And you know what? If I could think of a word that's better than awesome, maybe all caps awesome, then I would share that with you too. But you have to focus on both. So if you email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, and you know how I feel? If you send me some lame-ass email where you're like practically like grunting at me and just it's just like a subject line request like worksheet, I will tell you right now, you'll get no response. So if you'd like it, email me. I'll send it to you. Part two, we talked about the second component, which is why it was part two, by the way. That's why I'm a genius. We talked about information, specifically information that helps you improve in the areas that you have flagged in that first step. That's why you want that worksheet, by the way. So now you could say, all right, man, I've got these 2 to 3 areas I want to work on, these 1 to 2 areas, these 3 to 5 areas. I would not go more than 3 to 5, by the way. Probably best 2 to 3 at most, so that you're kind of focused. Otherwise, you spread out all over the damn place. But anyway, what we're going to do now is focus in on the information that matters to you. Because as we mentioned before, there's no shortage of information out there, folks. I mean, if you're like me, man, there's information overload. I'm an information junkie, man. I'm reading this and I'm listening to that. I'm in this course. I'm in that course. CDs, podcasts, man. Not enough hours in the day. But we could easily kid ourselves and focus on the things that don't matter. So why not focus on those areas that do matter? So again, if you flag negotiation, then you should be doing a search for information on negotiation. You should, God forbid, drop $15 or $20 and invest in yourself and buy a book, buy a CD, take a course. You could also, again, if you know somebody who's very good in those areas, remember that vulnerability thing? Ask for help. Ask them how they're getting a result. So those are some of the things that I would do. Now, that was step number two. But now, we're getting into part three. And this is where one of the biggest traps occurs. And they actually call it the learning trap. You know, amongst the coaches and trainers and just the whole industry refers to this, the learning trap. What the learning trap is, It occurs when, and a lot of people, and I bet you, and I want you really to, again, kind of like ask your ego to leave. Go ahead. I'll give you a second while you dismiss your ego, because I have to do this every day too, so we're all doing it together. Don't think I'm picking on you. Ask your ego to leave the car. Drop off the ego. Say, I'll circle back for you, dude, or dudette. And you have to realize that what happens is a lot of people become very frustrated because they feel that, well, my mindset is there. I'm a learner and I'm the humble student. And, you know, when I screw up, I want to know what I did wrong. And I ask my boss for feedback and people who know me, hey, you know, what could you tell me about me that I need to get better at? All that kind of stuff. And you know what? I'm getting the information. Castain, I've listened to all 106 of your podcasts, man. God bless me. And I listen to all these CDs and I have all these courses and all this kind of stuff. But and in fact, let's just go a step further. I mean, no shortage of information. Like we said, 34 gigabytes a day people are consuming. But then what happens is we move to the next thing to consume. And some of you do this with the books. You read a book, you move to the next book. And some of you do this with CDs and with courses. Dare I say this podcast? You consume it and you move on. And you're missing the third component, which is the right action. Notice how I'm saying the right action. I'm not just saying action. But it's the right action. So let's kind of talk about this. I mean, without action, duh, you're kidding yourself. Without action, this podcast, please say amen because you got a prayer. You know, all that, yeah, that made sense, man. That resonated with me. I really needed to hear what Castain had to say today. And then you do nothing about it. You got a prayer there, my friend. Or you have entertainment. No different than when you're listening to, like, the, you know, ESPN or something like that on your car, satellite radio. You have entertainment. You have a prayer when you're missing the action. So what can we do about this? I mean, I could sit here and lecture you all day, or I could get down and to business and tell you some really cool things. You know, it's an interesting story. I think it's interesting because I'm telling you it. I wouldn't tell you something that I thought was boring. That'd be pretty dicky, wouldn't it? But anyway, many years ago, there was a little book that you might have heard of, and it was called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And when they had written the book, the authors were promptly rejected. You ready for this? By 148 publishers. Now, I have to admire the fact that these guys stuck at it, because I have to tell you that the average person, 148 no's. And by the way, we're not talking about 148 rejections like, yeah, I don't want to buy from your company, like we deal with, right? Or, yeah, you know, your widget isn't as good as XYZ's widget. I'm not talking about that. When you write a book and you are rejected by 148 people, how could you not take that rather personally? Like, yeah, I must suck. Yeah. I mean, how could you not take that personally? And they kind of stayed with it. Pardon me. They get published. Most of us would have said, okay, man, I just kind of got right by there, but, you know, just skated by on that one. I'm very lucky. Let me leave well enough alone. No, they don't leave it alone. They said, okay, next step, next logical step is let's go for a bestseller. Now, yes, of course, get rejected by 148 publishers. Why wouldn't you consider becoming a best-selling author? Most of us would be like, that is it, man. I'm not going to push my luck. I don't need any more ass-kickings out there. But they decided to go for it. So now, again, I would say that the mindset was there. If we look at this formula I'm giving you, the mindset was there. And knowing, you know, the authors and their story and everything else, the information was there because they were around a lot of smart people. They were both people that were well-read, and they had access to coaches and mentors and all this kind of stuff, and they were continual learners like you and I. So the information was there, but the third component is what took them over the top, and it was action. So what they decided to do, each and every day, they would take five actions to move them closer to that goal of a best-selling book. So, for example, one day they might say, okay, one of the actions we're going to take is we want to try to get interviewed by this person in this major publication so we get some free publicity. Okay, maybe another thing was, all right, let's try to do some guest speaking things at some of the major universities so that we can get exposure. You guys get the deal, right? That's what they do. every single day, though, they would focus, what can we do to get closer to that outcome? And one day they were watching, this was many years ago, the O.J. Simpson trial, and they were realizing, man, look at these jurors, these poor jurors. They're being exposed to these crime scene photos, which weren't pleasant, folks. And all these grim, you know, accounts of what happened at the murder scene and all that. I mean, that's not the kind of stuff that you view and listen to and participate in and go home and say, I love life. Well, they said these people could use some chicken soup for the soul. As you guys know, I mean, chicken soup for the soul. All these feel-good stories to kind of uplift and motivate you and lift up your heart. And they said they could use some chicken soup for the soul. So they, as one of their action items, they sent along a case of these books just in time for the jury to go behind closed doors. And guess what? When they reemerged and they came out into the courtroom, guess what they were holding in their hands? Paul Castain Self's playbook. No, I'm kidding. I wish, right? That would have, like, been a historical moment. But no, they were holding chicken soup for the soul, and the rest is history. Now, if you had met me a few years ago, I would have been, yes, that's why we got to take five actions. I tried that five action thing. And first of all, I have a little something, like you guys do, called a life. And I've got other things, man, that are pressing at me. And, like, I have something else called a book of business that's pretty damn needy, man. People need Castain. And I love when you guys need me because I get to pay for two kids in college that way. Maybe a hair transplant one day. I don't know. We got to see. We got to see where this takes us in this crazy journey. But it's just kind of crazy. So we just don't have the time to do it. So this is what I recommend. If you're one of my coaching clients, this is one of the first things I say to you. Instead of five, think about one to two actions you could take a day. What action are you going to take? Why the actions, those areas that you flagged with that crazy worksheet I told you about, which remember, email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. By the way, I'm really going over the top pushing this and I'm making no money on it. So I don't want you to think there's a catch. It's just, I really want to help you with it. So definitely you start with that and looking in the mirror. Then you kind of say, all right, these are like the two to three areas that I got to get better at. So you start getting some information. And the last part is the action. Okay, well, wait a minute. Now, I just learned this really cool thing about negotiation because that was one of the areas I used as an example. So you know what? I've got that ABC deal coming up. I'm going to try that little step that this guy talks about here. I'm going to try this technique there because I have this cheap client, man, that's always trying to get free delivery. I'm going to try it there. See, that's action. But now here's the deal. Most people right now make a really big mistake, and it goes back to the mindset and that damn ego of yours. And don't even kid yourself or me for one moment that we are not the most egotistical group of people on the planet. I mean, probably entertainment and sports might kick our ass, but salespeople, you're going to tell me that we're not carrying around a major ego? We usually can't fit in the room with our damn egos, folks. So the deal is right about now, people say, you know, yeah, that one to two, actions today. Why don't you just tell me to remember to breathe today, Castain? Remember to tie your shoes. I mean, people pay you for that advice, jackass? Yeah, they do. Because most people won't do it. And that's the problem. They dismiss it because it isn't quite sexy enough. Or it isn't quite sophisticated enough. Or technical enough. Yeah, it really is that simple. Because don't you dare dismiss this because of its simplicity. If it's so simple, get off your ass and do it. Because if you take one action a day in an area that you flag that you want to get better in, it's not one a day. Don't even kid yourself thinking that it's one a day. It's five a week. It's 20 a month. It's 200 a year. And that's me giving you the weekends off and 2 months off. You're welcome. I mean, come on. I'm spoiling your ass here. 200. And if you want to go over the top and think that I'm being a wuss here, yeah, Castain's a lightweight. One a day. Jeez, man. Castain, man. Take off your skirt, man. Come on. Be a manly man already. All right. Double it. Make it, you know, two a day. If you do two a day, you're talking 400 a year. How could you tell me that any area in your life wouldn't improve, I approve of this message, improve with 2 to 400 rounds of artillery fire designed to help you get better. I mean, seriously, I don't understand how you could not get better in doing that. But actually, that kind of brings us to the next point, because I think what many of us say is that, well, yeah, man, practice makes perfect. Well, that's not necessarily true. There's one thing that you've heard a million times, and I hate to be that coach who says this, but it happens to be true. A lot of people say, practice doesn't make perfect. You ready? You guys can, like, say it with me. Practice makes permanent. In other words, what you're practicing over and over and over again becomes permanent. It becomes a habit. It becomes part of your wiring. And couldn't you have learned it the wrong way? Couldn't you have maybe learned it the right way, but now it's kind of antiquated? Do we see that in sales, by the way? Hey, by the way, if I had kind of, you know, stuck to my guns a few years ago, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. You would not be reading my blog. You would not be participating in my LinkedIn group, Sales Playbook. I would, nobody would know who I was, because I came up in sales picking up a phone and making 300 dials a week. If you were on my team, I had software and you guys knew it. I was tracking calls. That's what it was. It was all about calls and activities. A few years ago, I said, man, I learned the right way. I kicked ass. I did really well. Brought several teams from worst to first. But man, it's time to kind of change it up. The world's changing. Social's getting in there. So I got to find a way to marry it all together. And maybe you need to do that too. So practice makes permanent. So it's very important too, though, that you practice the right way. You know, it's a very interesting thing too. I want you to be aware of another trap. Many times we default when it comes to learning to the first way we learn something. And we might not have learned it the correct way, or it may no longer be relevant. So quick example. A few years ago, I was running some errands on my honey-do list from Mrs. Uncle Paul, trying to be the good husband, got to keep the balance. And I realized, you know, man, I got to get by the post office, right? Because one of the things I always do at my business, I try to send out a lot of snail mail, you know, thank you cards to people and stuff. I believe that should be part of your sales mix. So I had to go to the post office. So I was at the store, I go to the post office. And it was a post office I had never been to, because mine had moved, which is kind of odd, post offices moving. I thought they were like there forever, but shows how with it I am. But anyway, went to the post office. Okay, it was innocent enough. And then every time that I went afterwards, I just kind of went the same route that I went the first time. Now, before you write me off as an idiot, like this guy is a dumb, you know what, right? I almost said the F word. Not really, but I just wanted you to imagine me saying the F word on this podcast and how horrific that might be. But anyway, so, you know, I didn't want you to think like this is like way out of the way and I was like doing like a dumb move like that. It just means that what had happened was I was actually on the way there. I was passing this one block that if I had just used my head and cut down that block, there was a traffic light at the end of that block, which would have made the left turn a lot easier, got me a little bit closer. And by the way, it shaved probably about 3 minutes, 4 minutes off of my trip. And may not seem like much, but I go to the post office a lot, because I have no life. But anyway, you know, we default to the first time. So that first time was appropriate then, wasn't appropriate now. And, you know, a buddy of mine many years ago had really kind of pointed this out to me, how we default to the first time. And he really had kind of a comical way of looking at it. And he said, you know, Castain, this is probably why we have so many adults saying bye-bye instead of goodbye. That was the first way your mommy taught you how to say goodbye to somebody, was to wave bye-bye. I mean, this is why we have grown-ups doing it. So next time somebody says bye-bye to you, say, hey, man, you got to listen to Castain's podcast. But, you know, just very, very quickly, Rick Pitino had written a really, really cool book many, many years ago. It was probably 15 years ago. And it's called Success is a Choice. And I'm not going to even insult you by trying to quote him or insult him. But what he was saying was, you know, this whole thing about practice makes perfect. And he kind of came back with a tongue twister. And it was kind of like perfect practice makes perfect. So that's how we have to practice. We have to, what I often tell teams that I'm working with when a company hires me to come in and train their sales force is that you always want to train tougher than reality. The problem with a lot of sales training is that we have these BS role plays that are just comical and hokey and stupid, and these comebacks that we're taught and these scripts that in a classroom it might sound okay, but when you get out in an actual battlefield, they really don't play out very, very well. So what I always recommend to my participants is that we practice tougher than the real world, because then you're more than prepared and you can choose your weapon. But I think that's a very, very important thing. The last thing I want to say about this goes into my guitar playing. I've been playing now for 30-something years, and you guys should know that by now, right? I always talk about that, right? Not that it's that important, but to me, it's one of the things I really, really enjoy. I'm a musician. I actually play a few instruments, but the guitar is what we're going to talk about. When I was playing, I'm guessing about 5 years, I was pretty good. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I didn't suck. Well, probably that's a better way to put it. I didn't suck. There was a lot of really good players back then. And I went to this one guy that was highly recommended, kind of like the Jedi Master of guitar teachers. And, you know, he did like an assessment, had me play a few things, some scales, some pieces, asked me to play some things, some original pieces that I had written, you know, just kind of quiz me on scales and all this kind of stuff. And at one point, he asked me to stop, and he said, is there any reason why you're holding the guitar that way? I was holding, you know, I'm a right-handed guitar player, so with the left hand, I was holding the neck, and my thumb was over the neck, which those of you who play guitar, you realize that you're really not supposed to do this. I didn't know. See, because I didn't have a teacher, and I was self-taught up to that point. I watched my brother play guitar, and I grew up with a lot of guitar players in the neighborhood. And again, because I was a humble student, I was always saying, hey, man, how'd you play that? Show me that, and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of learned a lot, but I wasn't necessarily learning things the right way. So at one point, he said to me, hey, listen, you're probably not going to like this, but if you're going to be my student, you're going to have to unlearn that. Because what's happening is that you came to me and you said you want to be able to play fast. Now, back then, folks, not to really make me seem like an older fart than you guys already perceive me as, you know, a lot of the players I was listening to were people like Yngwie Malmsteen and Eddie Van Halen, very fast players, and I wanted to play very fast at that point. And he said, you're literally tripping over your own fingers by doing it this way. You're just from a logic point of view, you're just not playing in a logical manner, and I want to show you a different way. So we had to kind of unlearn some things. So here we go. My attitude and my mindset was really good to get me to the point that I was a decent player at 5 years, and the humble student, and learning from people, and having that kind of vulnerability to say, hey, man, could you teach me that? The information was there because, yeah, back then we didn't have YouTube lessons like we do today and everything, but I had no shortage of guitar players in the neighborhood, and my brother was a guitar player, and all this other kind of stuff, but I had learned it the wrong way. And many of us in sales do that too. So one of the things that you can do right off the bat is kind of be willing to challenge yourself on a regular basis. Look at what you're doing. Look at the questions you're asking and challenge yourself. Are these the right questions? Could there be better questions? You know, look at it suspiciously. Like, I know I'm missing something here. What is it? Maybe look at your presentation. You know, is this the best presentation that I could be giving, or is this simply the way I learned to do it? Is there better evidence that I could be giving people on why they should use my company over, what, the other 50,000 training companies that are out there? So things like that. But continually challenge yourself to kind of look at things in a way that, is this the best way that I'm doing this? So that's something that I want you to think. You know, I think it's, you know, the other thing that I want to just say very, very quickly is you might want to consider having an accountability partner. And this is like the equivalent of those of you who have lifted weights, having somebody kind of spotting you, and you know, they're pushing, come on, Wimp Man, do another one, you know, like, come on, one more, you're almost there, you're kicking ass, that kind of thing. Accountability partners are really, really important, and it's one of the components of all the training programs that I customize for companies. That what I'll do is that we have action items, and I have them break off into groups of two and hold each other accountable and say, all right, here's what I'm committing to do after this training with Castain. Man, I feel good and I'm all pumped up, but we've got to take action, right? Because otherwise it's that rah-rah session that we don't want. So they agree on action items, and then they agree to hold each other accountable with like a weekly accountability call. And I think that's very important, because when you know you have to face someone who's not necessarily going to be a dick to you, but kind of a dick, right? They are not going to let you off the hook. It brings up your performance level. And again, with people like us who have egos, we need that little kick in the rear, if you will. I think it's very, very important, accountability partners. And, you know, the other thing that I'm going to tell you is very, very quickly, and I do this reluctantly because I just don't want to make this sound like it's one big sales pitch to you, but coaches are very, very important, and I mean of the paid variety. Yes, I have people in my life that coach me in certain areas for free. They're fantastic. They're very special people to me. They've helped me. I mean, heck, my dad was my very first coach in sales. He was the first person I worked for. And it's very, very important. But I'm also going to tell you something I've told you all along. I take it seriously, the advice that I'm given by them. But the advice I take at just the highest level of seriousness and where I place the highest level of priority is that which I'm paying for. And the reason why is because I'm making an investment in myself. It's telling my brain, hey, this is important. Pay attention. Get off your ass and do something. You are paying this coach all kinds of money. Not to just sit there and get the rah-rah casting. Get off your ass and do it. You will take it much more seriously. Plus, you are sending your brain the wrong message. If you go through life as a serious sales professional and you are not willing to invest in yourself. And, you know, just a few things that I want you to think about when it comes to a coach and the reason why you want to have them. And then we're going to get into perceptions of coaches in a second. I think a really good coach is going to be one who's been there and can save you a lot of time. That is one of many reasons why you want to have a coach. The other thing with coaches is that a good one is going to hold you accountable. See that accountability part in a thing that we talked about before. Yes, you could have a coworker hold you accountable. By all means, do that. This is something you can do too with this person you're paying to help you get better in a certain area is going to hold you accountable. A good coach will, by the way. A bad coach, they're just taking your money every month because that's all they want. They just want to be able to get the paycheck. Me, just so you know, and I just in case any of you are considering me as a coach, and some of you listening to this that still are on talking terms with me know that I'm not BSing about this. I fire clients all the time, just so you know. I'm not nasty about it. We don't have like a nasty breakup and, you know, and it's just ugly and we got to move our furniture out and all this kind of stuff. And let me know what day you're going to be there so I'm not there and all that awkwardness. No, it doesn't get weird. But if people don't do the work, I don't want them as a client. I refuse, as a coach, to ever chase a grown-up. I will not chase an adult as if they were a child and I am a school teacher. I will not do it. I am not going to be your coach. And you need someone that has that same attitude that is going to kick you in the ass. And quite frankly, we are stubborn people as sales professionals. We need somebody who has the balls to say, unacceptable. You had promised you were going to do this. And by the way, there's a right and wrong way to do this. What I always do with my clients is at the end of every session, I say, all right, man, what are the action verbs? You tell me. We just talked about all kinds of stuff. What do you think you need to do over the next 2 weeks until our next session? They tell me. Then they kind of give me some updates a week later so that we're not waiting 2 weeks to see if they went off track. And then when we get on the phone again, when they give their update, they're telling me what they did. And if they didn't do it, I'm not going to say, you suck. You hang your head, man. And I go into drill sergeant mode. No. But I'm going to give them some gentle reminders that we have a path that we've got to travel. I'm going to find out maybe some things that got in the way of them doing this so I can coach them on that. But there is accountability, folks. And that's very, very important. And many times when you're not paying someone, you're not getting that. So I think that's important. And then the other thing, too, is that a good coach is going to help you focus your action. Because with all that information out there, man, we're focusing on the wrong stuff. And with 34 gigabytes a day, man, we might just have too much garbage going in and out of the brain. So we're going to focus action, which is the key word here. So, you know, the final thing here that I want to talk about is, you know, there's a bit of a challenge here when it comes to coaches. And I think it goes back to that mindset step, that very first thing we talked about. And I think many of us kind of view coaches as kind of like, I don't know, like kind of displaced salespeople or they're BS artists and, you know, I mean, that old, hey, how about this one? Those who can do and those who can't teach and all that kind of stuff. But see, I would challenge you and I would say that, yeah, those who can do and those who can't teach in some cases. But you see, those who can do both, who can truly teach and can truly go out and sell, can truly help those who can do neither. And many times, the ego is getting in your way, saying, yeah, look at that, man. Those who, you know, this guy can't do, so he's teaching. that's really kind of your ego keeping you away from the reality, which is you're not doing either one. So again, I'm not here to defend the entire coaching practice, because I will tell you, I see people all the time and I'm saying, you must be kidding me. I mean, there's, you know, without getting into names, I mean, there's one person who is a life coach at 26 years old or whatever, and has no working experience other than being a life coach. And I guess you could tell me some things about life, but for my purposes, I'm just wondering, like, okay, I guess you couldn't find employment. So, you know, I hear you with that. But don't let one or two or what you think is a majority of just lame coaches get in the way of your ability. You know, real quick war story. Many years ago, I was working for a company that was a franchisor of building services. And I had an opportunity to sell this chain of dental offices. And the guy was a real jerk, man. He would say, oh, you cleaners, you suck, and you're all the same. I mean, he was just a real just jackass. And, you know, it was one of those days that I had my brain with me and kind of I thought very, very quickly. And I said, you know what? I had a really bad root canal about a year ago, and I didn't hold your profession accountable for that. I kind of realized that I had just a really crappy dentist. Don't do that to me with this. Why don't you at least, you know, use the trial period to see if I'm just BSing you as a salesperson, or if maybe truly we are the top provider of this as is listed in, you know, all these publications and all that. And he really liked the response, and I got the deal. And I would kind of say that to you. Don't hold the coaching profession accountable because you've encountered some people who just are lame. You know, there are some of us out there that do both, who can teach and who can sell. And quite frankly, I will tell you something about me. I sell to the toughest audience in the world, you guys. What makes you the toughest audience in the world? Salespeople, need I say more? Also, too, no offense, but we, I'm not saying you, and pointing the finger at you, I'm saying we, like I'm in there too, we're the stubbornest profession on the planet, man. We think we don't need training when we do. The ego does get in our way. So it's just something to think about right there. I think it's very, very important. Now, you know, that's kind of it. I mean, we covered a lot today, went into a bit of overtime. And, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to very, very soon just kind of do a blog post where I give you links to all three of these in the three-part series. But my most important advice to you, and it's something that I say at the end of every online program that I do and at the end of every training program that I do on the corporate level, I always say, and you ready for this? It's going to shock you. I say, what you've just learned from me is completely worthless. It's completely useless. It's going to be of no use to you until you get off your ass and you do something with it. So many times in my life, I have taken incredible notes. So many times I've had a major aha and I did nothing with it. So here's my challenge to you, is anytime you have an aha, don't ever leave the scene of an aha without maybe pulling the car over so it's safe if you're driving right now, writing it down, but going the next step, which is pulling out the smartphone and scheduling that very first piece of action. And every time you take one action, schedule the next, because otherwise, folks, you either just experienced some fun entertainment or you have what's known as a prayer, and you might as well say amen. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.